Everybody ready?
Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for November 14th, 2007. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number three is public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications, however, in
the Oceano Beach area and with health and safety issues. One is concerning the fact that there is only one exit and one entrance to the Oceano Dunes area right now. I've just been on the internet. There was a earthquake this afternoon, and they were thinking about issuing a tsunami warning. And it made me think of that very issue. One exit, one entrance. If there is a fire, if there is an emergency on the beach, there is no way for an emergency vehicle to go out there and bring people back at the same time people are trying to get off the beach. And the responsibility for lives is within this district. So we must be planning either to work with the county, with the state, or some agency with funding so that we will not lose as many lives as possible. We had a recent event on the beach that had between 6,000 to 30,000 people out there. That's a whole city, ladies and gentlemen. A whole city. Families were on that beach with one exit, one entrance. That's the significance. One entrance, one exit. And the vehicles that are closest to that entrance are Oceano's. Are the fire department, your police, your ambulance, everything is right here. And you would be called on to attempt to rescue people. And that is where the responsibility is. And that leads me to support issues that are currently before your board. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board before we start the presentations? Okay.
Richard Margetson from Cayucas. I'm here today as a member of the Homeless Advisory Council. We're going to have you view a short DVD, and it's broken up into two parts. The first deals with an enumeration study of the homeless in this county that was commissioned by the Board of Supervisors in 2005. The second half of the video talks about the upcoming event that Pamela Dean and Jim Hill attended. The first one last year, Jim actually beat me out on something I was bidding on. but it's pretty self-explanatory, so if they're ready to play.
Thank you.
December 4th, they're meeting December 4th, the first week of December, Homeless Awareness Week, and they are endorsing our event. And actually, Supervisor Ashajian is going to auction himself off for lunch with a supervisor. So if any of you would like to bring your issues forward and bid on Supervisor Ashajian and some of the other supervisors, it's going to be broadcast all day long on TV. David Atwood from Coast Radio is going to be emceeing it all day. It's free admission. Just bring what you can, donate what you can. People are collecting their coins and going to bring them with them. We filled 2 5-gallon coin jugs last year with over $2,000 worth of coins. The children are collecting them in the schools. 4-H is going to be doing hot cocoa for us. We're just going to have a lot of entertainment, too, all day long. There'll be pianists and organists playing all day, and then later on we'll have children's choirs and sing-alongs. So it's going to be something for everyone, and we just hope that you'll join us. It's after the Los Osos Chamber of Commerce Christmas Parade. It starts at 10 in the morning, parade ends at 10:30, and then we'll be going to almost 10 at night. So if you can stop by and just encourage everyone you can. It's a community-wide effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board and all the staff. I'm Dr. Nell Langford, and I went out on the beach this afternoon, and I took some pictures, and I'd like to share this with you.
Was not good for our town. And it's taken us years to really get the hang of it that we subsidize. This is Oceano Beach. This is one of the hang of it that we subsidize the OHV and the people who have ATV rental businesses with our money. Who pays for this sand on the street? We pay with our property taxes, with our money. And although there are some businesses here that we really like that are really cute, others are mostly not for regular tourists. Regular tourists want a destination resort. We came here to shop. Look at the sand coming down the beach. We have to clean that up. It's everywhere. It inundates our houses because of all the stuff that goes on out there, and then we have a terrible time getting permission to dig out. And our fire truck has to go out there and service all the emergencies. Who pays for this? We pay for this on our water bill. But mostly we pay because, look at this. Who wants to come here? We pay $100,000 plus a year in bed tax to the county. That number would quadruple if this were a destination resort. But what do we have here? Look at this. Nobody stops except to rent an ATV. This is the entryway to the dunes, a national, natural landmark revered around the world. This is the sand that doesn't get scooped up, that we get stuck in. It's a symbol of how we are being run over by the Off-Highway Vehicle Division of State Parks and Recreation. And while the video concludes, I'd just like to add that something I'm sure is going to be done about this, because this is the best board, and this is the best staff, and this is the best time that we have ever had to make a change for Oceano. Thank you. This is Oceano Beach.
Thank you. Just one comment to correct a misimpression that was that I noticed on the tape. It stated that we pay on our water bill for this service. That is incorrect. There is no relation at all from OCSD water bill collections. That's a separate account, and there's no cross purposes for our water bills.
This is our OCSD resolution number 2007-19, resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District recognizing Doug Hamp for exceptional services interim fire chief. Whereas Doug Hamp served as interim fire chief for Oceana Community Services District from July 2nd to September 5th, 2007. Whereas Doug Hamp guided the board with his professional knowledge, attention to detail, and devotion to duty. Whereas Doug Hamp utilized his vast experience in fire operations to recommend highly desirable changes to district fire operations and policies. Whereas Doug Hamp utilized his community contacts to further integrate district fire operations with other local fire departments. Whereas Doug Hamp's natural leadership qualities provided guidance and motivation to district firefighters. And whereas Doug Hamp served the district in an outstanding and selfless manner, now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District that the Board of Directors of OCSD extends to Doug Hamp its expression of esteem and gratitude for serving the district as interim fire chief, and we wish Doug Hamp good health and prosperity for many years to come. Thank you very much on behalf of the board.
My pleasure, Jim. I haven't really appreciated the impacts or the challenges of working in districts. Most of my time has been spent in municipalities, counties, and so on. And the job that your firefighters do, your water folk, all your entire staff, and this board. The previous speaker spoke about this is the board, this is the board. I'm very impressed. It was my pleasure to work with all of you and for you. And thank you for the opportunity to do it. And I'm very proud of you. Thank you, Mr. Reese. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
General Manager, Patrick O'Reilly is a great example of what this community, I think, needs, as well as your new fire chief, Mike Cooper. Very happy to have them all.
One, two, three. I guess it worked. It's on there.
Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. For discussion? Barbara?
No.
Kamala?
I have none.
Bill?
Just like to mention Veterans Day and a great get-together at the Oceano Depot on Sunday. I was very impressed to see that the progress that our community has made in restoring the depot and bringing that day to Oceano and the attendance of people we had there.
Okay, I have nothing at this time either. Brings us to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes of October 24th. Any comment or questions on the minutes? Hearing none. Comment or questions from the public on the minutes? Hearing none.
Move to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number 6. We have Commander Brian Haskell from the Sheriff's South Station. Welcome, Commander.
Good evening. How are you this evening?
Good, thank you.
Good. Just a couple things to bring up. Fight on the scourge of graffiti continues. Deputies made an arrest a couple of weeks ago on a subject who was out graffitiing most of Oceano. We're still working on trying to get all that cleaned up, and he's currently being prosecuted, another juvenile and another gang member, so we'll be watching him more closely once he gets back out again. We had an arrest that we made last week in Napomo of an individual who was passing counterfeit $100 bills over there. He passed two of them at the Vons on Teff Street and one at the Jocko's restaurant a few days before that, and he's currently in custody for felony charges. That was a really good job done by our patrol deputies and by our detectives. They acted quickly and got this guy before he could get away, so we're real pleased with that. With the holidays coming up, just some comments about shopping and having packages delivered to your house. We're asking the public, if they can, to please have packages delivered when they're home. Don't have them left on their front doorstep, because that can result in thefts, which we had a problem with last year. Just won't come and take packages and items that you purchased while out shopping, if you can do that. Also, as a kind of stepping on the feet of the fire guys on this one, but make sure you unplug your trees when you're not at home, because they're a huge fire issue, fire hazard. So from my standpoint, I was a coroner's investigator for 4 years, and I investigated my share of fire deaths, so I'd rather not see that happen if we can avoid it. The last item I have on here is that we're in the middle of the Sheriff's Department annual bike program, and that allows us to give bikes to needy families and children in the area. We are accepting donations of bicycles from the public and businesses, and if they'd like to, they can drop them off at the station next door between 8 and 4, Monday through Friday, and we'll get them picked up right away. Also, we're accepting applications from needy families in the community to pick up bikes during the month of December. And the period for filing for bicycles is November 1st to November 24th. And they can get those applications right over at the station, and we'll send them up to the main station and get bikes for families that can't afford to buy them in any other way. And that's all I have for this evening, if anyone has any questions.
Okay. Comment or questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
I had someone call me about alley problems, and mostly it's with people dumping and loitering and things like that happening in the alleys. Do you have, and they said, well, maybe we could get together the whole neighborhood to watch our alleys. Do you have some sort of program like Neighborhood Watch for Alleys or something that they can do, or have any recommendations?
Well, we have been trying to keep a little bit better eye on the alleys lately, because we have had some problems with increased graffiti and kids loitering and problems of that nature. So we have been trying to be a little bit more proactive in that area. We do have neighborhood watch programs, and I'm sure that those could be modified in such a way that they could meet the needs of the different alleys we have in town here. If you have somebody who's interested in dealing with that, have them get in touch with me over at the station, and I'll put them in touch with our crime prevention people, who can come out and give a program on that, or
enforcing them and apprehending people when in pursuit.
Not to my knowledge, those usually end up in foot pursuits, and if we have a deputy who's in pretty good shape, we don't have too much problem catching the people. But the biggest issues we have in the alleys are graffiti and trash dumping and generally not being kept up. So, but I have not run into that as a problem as okay. far as pursuing individuals. But they certainly could be kept up more efficiently. And obviously it's difficult for county planning, code enforcement to get around and do those sorts of things, but when we do identify a problem, we try to bring it to their attention and have them come out and deal with it.
Less alleys would be in Oceana would probably be a better solution, and maybe close them off. The ones that we could would help out.
Well, it's hard to say. I think it'd be difficult to close off, you know, individual homeowners'
yeah.
access to the back of their property that way. But I think just enforcement and notification to my department of things that are going on will help us to deal with those problems.
Very good.
I had a report from a resident that some people were staying in the county campground next to the airport that were apparently shooting raccoons with a pellet gun, and said they killed about a dozen raccoons. And
when was that?
Apparently this past weekend. And I was wondering if some extra patrol or enforcement action could be taken about that.
Yes, I'll check into that. That's the first I'd heard of it. I hadn't heard of anything. I don't, as far as I know, nothing was reported to our department about that, so I'll have to look into that and also talk to the county parks people as well, see if they got any reports on that. Mm-hmm. But I'll look into that and let you know.
Thank you very much. Comment or questions from the public? No? Thank you very much, Commander.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Item number 6B, report of district department heads. Administrative assistant, Gina.
Excuse me, Mr. President. We've got a really full agenda here. Maybe we want to receive and file these this time, unless there's something anybody wants to hear about, or anybody from staff that wants to add to their report or say about it.
76 accounts, and today we shut off 20 accounts for non-payment. We did our routine Wilster fee and fire safety plan letters. We completed the reports for the utility operations supervisor that go to the State Department of Health, and provided assistance with the development of Well 6. In addition to that, we did the advertising and have set up the interviews for tomorrow and the final interviews on Monday for the two positions for accounting clerks 1 and 2. And right now we're working on the audit and keeping busy filling the DMV appointments for next month. Today was full again. Mm-hmm. A lot more people coming in with the San Luis office closed.
Right.
The well number 6, how are we doing with that? Is that coming, Phil? Are we making progress with it?
It's coming along pretty slow. Luckily, we don't need it. We disinfected it again earlier this week. They're working on it.
What's the process? Apparently, there's some nitrates in there.
Stuff. Well, all we're trying to do is, no, there's no nitrates. We're just trying to get a good back key.
Okay, so what kind of process do we go through? I'm just curious as far as disinfecting it.
Is it dump chlorine in it?
Chlorine, okay. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay. Any other things of interest to report?
Not really, just the usual stuff. I saw something here. Couple of leaks and a fire hydrant got hit with a car. Mm-hmm. And we produced 3.6% more water this month than we did a year ago in October.
Uh-huh. Good warm weather. And this evening we have Captain Brian Leathers from the fire department.
Let's do the highlights here. Oceana, we responded to 71 calls in the month of October. So we're at a total of 736 calls for the year. We're 37 ahead of schedule from this time last year. We recently did the Alicia Ann Rouge Burn Foundation, the relay, where all the engines went up to, you know, doing a lot of good stuff there. We had a significant fire on November 9th over off of Pike Lane, a commercial structure fire there, where ourselves, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Cal Fire assisted with extinguishing the fire. Did a little bit of damage to the insides and also with the contents. And Cal Fire has also extended the fire season to at least November 30th, so should have been closing up here recently, and just because of the dry weather and no rain, they've extended it to minimum of November 30th. Mm-hmm. So all I have.
Okay. Thank you very much. Comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public on the reports? Okay, receive and file, please. Mm-hmm. Item number 7A, consolidation of fire department operations, a status report on fire consolidation progress. Patrick?
President Hill, members of the board, members of the public, last Tuesday, I met with the city managers from Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande and Chief Hubert. My staff report says Chief Hamp, but it was actually Chief Hubert, to discuss how we should move forward as far as fire consolidation is concerned. We kind of reached a consensus that we felt that it was best to follow a couple of areas. One is to continue pursuing the Consolidated Reserve Firefighting Program, hopefully have that implemented by January the 1st, if we can get board meetings, if we can get the agenda to the board meetings on time. If not, then hopefully by February the 1st. Then we are recommending, or the area, the way we'd like to go is to develop a joint agreement between the three agencies, where OCSD is a participant in the fire chief and the battalion chief functions. Right now, we're looking at the district paying 15% of the salaries of those two individuals in exchange for fire chief support and training support from the battalion chief, as well as there are a few other areas they'd be providing support on scene of major fire incidents. There's actually attached to this staff report a couple of descriptions of the services we would expect to receive from the fire chief and the battalion chief. One of the things that came out of the discussion was a need we pay more appropriately for the service we're getting from them. And then the last thing that we agreed on was that this should be a temporary arrangement, probably for 6 months. At the end of 6 months, look at where we are, how it's working, and if we want to continue or make changes to whatever the agreement happens to be. Basically, this is before the board, so you'll know what we talked about and to see if this direction is suitable or if the board has further direction for me in future meetings with this committee.
Okay. Comment or questions?
I think you've done what we told you to do.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're proceeding well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. That was easy.
Any comment or questions from the public on this item? Good. Okay. Well, I'm personally glad to see that moving forward. Mm-hmm. That's a big... a lot of progress. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 7B is sick leave allowance for the firefighters. Consideration of the general manager's recommendation to increase the annual sick leave allowance for district firefighters from 96 hours to, I believe, 120.
Actually, we discussed it in the fire committee meeting. A little background. Our firefighters have been receiving the same number of sick leave hours as our 40-hour per week people. Basically, what that does, it's 96 hours a year, and so for our 40-hour a week people, that's 12 8-hour days a year they can take off for sick leave. For a firefighter that's working a 24-hour shift, that's only four days a year they have available for sick leave. There are some compensating factors. Firefighters have days off, more days off, so they can schedule dental appointments and doctor's appointments and that sort of time when they're off, so they don't have to routinely affect their on-call time. But if they have an emergency or if they have a scheduled procedure that's going to require them to take off when they would normally be working, then they eat up their sick leave much quicker than a regular 40-hour per week employee. The city of Arroyo Grande, their firefighters get 134 hours a year. And so I would actually recommend 134 hours. I think that would be more appropriate as far as the number of hours that we would approve here.
Again, we've talked about this at the board before, so mm-hmm. I'm ready to make a motion.
Okay.
If there's no public.
Is there any other comment Question or comments from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none.
Okay, I move that we increase the annual sick leave for full-time fire department personnel working 24-hour shifts from 96 hours per year to 134 hours per year.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we increase the annual sick leave for full-time fire department personnel working 24-hour shifts from 96 hours per year to 134 hours per year. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 7C, firefighter training drills. Consideration of the staff recommendation to decrease the number of monthly training drills from 4 to 2. Patrick?
The fire department handbook that was approved by this board in July contains a requirement that we conduct at least 4 drills a month for our reserve firefighters. That requirement has been in existence, I think, as long as the fire department's been in existence. And it began when we were an all-volunteer fire department, and it was more difficult to coordinate training for people, and we had we didn't have any full-time firefighters to kind of do on-the-job training for our volunteer firefighters. Now we've evolved into a full-time fire department, or where we have some full-time firefighters, so there's a whole lot of training that occurs every day with the reserves that are part of the active force that day. And what we'd like to do is reduce the number from 4 per month, required 4 per month, to a minimum of 2 per month. We could always have additional drills if we needed them, but just have a minimum of 2 per month. It would align us with the other 2 fire departments, Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach. And once we get into the consolidated reserve function, then that would make us consistent with everybody else. So we're just recommended that we change that handbook to reflect 2 drills as a minimum per month instead of 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Comment or questions? Comment or questions from the seconded that we reduce the number of training drills from 4 to twice a month. We have a roll call, please, Gina.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 7D, the 2007 Volunteer Fire Assistance Grant. Consider approving a grant for $5,978 with an equal matching fund requirement.
This grant was approved by the California Department of Forestry. It includes funding for some fire shelters, some Phoenix helmets with goggles, and a rapid intervention rescue pack. There's a list at the back of the staff report. The total cost to the district will be $5,978, and we'll get twice that much in equipment because the grant will pay for the other half. The fire committee recommended that we approve this particular grant.
Mm-hmm. Ready okay. to make a motion?
Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none.
I move that we approve the volunteer fire assistant grant for $5,978 for fiscal year 2007-2008. And we sign the necessary papers and return them as requested.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. You have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Off-highway vehicle in-lieu fees. Consideration of staff recommendation to request off-highway vehicle in-lieu fees from the San Luis Obispo County. Patrick?
Each year the San Luis Obispo County receives approximately $150,000 in in-lieu fees from the state, and these fees are provided to help support off-highway vehicle recreation in the area. One of the qualifications for receiving the money is that the agency or the group that gets the money has to be providing has to have a cooperative agreement with the county, and also has to be providing either a recreational opportunity or safety in support of a recreational opportunity. Fire engineer Craig Angelo did a lot of research into this particular funding availability. He prepared a draft letter that he in which he proposed. I have a little bit different philosophy, but I wanted to present his because he was very diligent in his work, and I think his ideas are good. I differ in what he recommended to the extent that I think we can use the funds, if we get funds, we can use the funds to support the operations we already provide. Somewhere between 15% and 20% of our calls are to the Oceano Dunes, 15% directly and another 3% to 5% indirectly in support of tourist operations on the Oceano Dunes. If we apply that 15% or 18% to our budget, which is 724,000 dollars, that would allow us to ask the county for $135,000 in support just for what we already, the services we already provide. If the county has additional funds, then we could offer to have dedicated fire crews available on the really on the busiest weekend, holiday weekends and weeks, if it be spring break or Christmas break or whenever the busiest times are. So I have a draft letter here that I would like the, I'd ask the board to approve, at least in concept. I think there are some wording issues that could be improved, but I think if I work with President Hill, we could come up with a fairly effective letter if you agree in concept with the concept of what we want to do.
Are you asking for in this concept for how you want these funds to be used in the request? In requesting them, do you want us to state how they're being going to be used in this, or are you just going to, or how do you? What is it exactly you're asking for us?
Well, I what I'd recommend is that we say we're going to use the funds to pay for the services we're already providing, so that we can fully fund our fire operations for the city of Oceano or the community of Oceano. Right now, I don't think we're. We're providing the full services to the community that we should be providing, and that if we had more money, for instance, this whole consolidation thing, the reserve, by participating in a consolidated reserve force, that's going to cost us at least $30,000 a year because we're going to have to pay our firefighters, our reserve firefighter operations, and we'll be able to afford to do the things that we need to do, I think.
Well, these funds have to be applied for every year and are not...
That's correct.
Source of funds.
No, they have to be applied for every year. That's correct. But they are a continuing source of funds. There's a law, a California state law, that says these funds are collected every year. It's the green sticker fees. Yeah. And right now it's the funds are distributed to the county in a certain way.
They're a continuing source of funds for the county, but not necessarily continuing source of funds for us.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was interesting that that video we saw earlier with, you know, Dr. Nell Langford was talking about, you know, the Strand. What she didn't say was the fact that we as a fire department go on the beach on a regular basis to assist. Right. Right. And we're not being subsidized for that. Right. And I support this. This is, your letter's great.
If we do this, I would like you and President Hill to clean it up to the president's satisfaction, and then it go out and it doesn't have to come back again to us, right. You know, another delay. Okay. Because the longer we wait, the less chance of getting the funds.
No, I'm in total agreement. I think that this is important, and it's, I'm glad to see it here and right. happening, and we're applying for this.
It needs to be done. Now.
Yeah. Well, now or yesterday. Yeah.
Well, I was going to hand carry it to Supervisor Akajan's office.
Uh-huh. It's long overdue. It's too bad we didn't know about these funds much earlier. And thank you for, and thank
Craig Angelo
right. for actually doing the legwork on this. Right.
Craig's been talking about this for years.
Right, this is...
These funds.
It's time to go for this, yeah, right. And I think we deserve it. We are definitely putting in our time and effort on the beach, so I think we deserve this.
Right, this is something that we've campaigned for a long time, and Fire Engineer Angelo's efforts to get this, bring this to everyone's attention and to suggest ways that we can pursue it is very well appreciated. And I agree with everyone else that we need to move forward with it. And this is well done. It benefits, it would provide some reimbursement for the service that we do provide on the beach. And then, of course, we have to be backed up by county.
Off-highway motor vehicle registrations, fees that are available, and to do this as soon as possible.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we proceed with this. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item number 8, utility items, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is our continual disclosure of the emergency declared by the Board of Directors following the San Simeon earthquake, considering cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water mains. I think the board's well versed in this item. Is there any comment or questions from the public on this? Okay, hearing none.
So move, we continue the cleaning and inspection of district sewer lines and water lines.
I second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we continue the declaration of emergency. We have a roll call, please, Gina.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Let's move this up because he's sitting here. This one will take a while.
Okay, we would like to move item number 8C ahead of 8B. This is a consideration of the encroachment permit for 2501 Paso Robles Street. We looked at this last time but had some questions and corrections. And I believe there's a new staff report from council.
Right. District Council prepared a new staff report, and I'd ask him to present it. Did I give you copies of the revised? Do you have those?
Yes.
Okay. And there's some in the back if the public is interested.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, the general manager's comments are correct. Unfortunately, I was out of town at the end of last week when the developer involved here called my office and said, oh, gosh, can't we get this put together quickly in time for the board meeting. So Ryan Fothergill from my staff communicated with him, and with the wonders of email and cell phones, we pretty well got it together. I had to take a last-minute look at the documents over the weekend once I got back on Sunday, and then I was able to email this report to Pell. We had to include her property description. They had previously referenced her in the document and at one time had her listed as a signer, but it didn't make any sense to us because if you read the rest of the document, it appeared that the fence was all going to be on their property. But we ultimately got that cleaned up. We also got the dimensions of the fence cleared up. That's in recital D. It is a 2 foot 8 inch wide footing, 16 inches on each owner's respective properties, 12 inches deep, and it would be a continuous footing centered on the property line that supports the wall. The wall is going to be approximately 6 feet high and would be in 20-foot sections. And they provided us with a drawing that's been attached as exhibit as an exhibit to the encroachment permit. The balance of the document is all substantially the same. There's no other significant changes. I hope that answers all the questions that you had from the last time. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them as long as my voice holds out.
Appreciate it. Is there any comment or questions?
I have a couple questions. And they're just something that I run into as they may be nothing, they're just a legal thing. In item number 2 is under the foreign in consideration, it reads, in emergency situations, owner may remove the encroachments. described in paragraph D with less notice from district. If circumstances dictate, district may have the right to enter the property immediately without notice. And the question kind of is who determines whether the circumstances dictate, and as far as legally in the document? I know it's the district, but I don't see how it's spelled out in the document.
Well, and that's the problem. You can never have it absolutely perfect because you can't predict. Ultimately, somebody on, you know, Palm Street in San Luis Obispo wearing a black robe might ultimately have to decide it. But in the vast majority of these situations, reasonable heads prevail and something gets worked out.
It was just something I noticed, and it may, you know, it may not be anything that matters.
It's a fair question. It is a fair question.
Yeah, it's just something I wanted to, you know, bring up in case anybody felt that something needed to be done about it.
Nothing here that obligates us to replace the wall. We're allowing them on our property to establish a wall. We have the right to terminate this if we have to.
Yeah. No, but what I was, the way I was reading it or understanding it is that if we should have to go in there and remove that wall, okay, I didn't see anything that would say that we're not responsible to replace the wall that we removed.
You're right. It doesn't say that. If that's, I really don't think it's a concern, but okay. if it is a concern for the district, that's something that we could very quickly get added, and very early tomorrow I could have a revised document in the hands of the developer to execute, if that's a concern.
Yeah. You're the attorney. I don't know. I just noticed it and wanted your opinion on whether it was necessary.
Certainly.
Or not. That's the only reason I brought it up. And that's the only questions I have on it.
Any other questions?
I do. I have a question for Phil. Since this is in our sewer easement, it's right down the middle of our sewer easement. Is that running over our sewer line that is in place now?
I'd say yes, it is.
Is it going to impact or have a damage the sewer line if they put that kind of weight over the top of it?
Well, of course, it's always difficult to dig a hole and there's a fence there, but when I've talked to Casey about it, and the 20-foot section, if we ever have any problems, right, you know, we don't think it's a real big issue.
You could get to it?
Yes.
Are any sewer laterals planned for connection to that line?
There are sewer laterals connected to it presently. I'd have to look at Casey's plans to find out if there's going to be more.
For the new homes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it seems that if he's okay with it and you're okay with it, I'm okay with it then.
Okay, a comment or questions from the public on this item? And the revised agreement's acceptable to the parties? Okay. In that case?
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 2007-20 approving an encroachment within the district's easement at 2501 Paso Robles Street.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the encroachment permit. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay. Consideration of water service to Grand Mobile Manor and Halcyon Estates Mobile Home Parks, consideration of alternatives for providing water service to the mobile home parks. And we have a staff recommendation. Patrick?
About 5 years ago, these two mobile home parks, Grande Mobile Manor and Halcyon Estates, lost their wells, became ineffective, and so they were looking for alternative sources of water, and the city of Aurora Grande agreed to provide them with water on a temporary basis for 5 years. That agreement ended about 2 months ago, and so they're back again. They went back to the city of Aurora Grande and asked them to extend the agreement, and the city of Aurora Grande was reluctant because they're having water issues, and they felt like the mobile home parks ought to look for a more permanent solution. So I met last week with the owners of each mobile home park and a city manager for the city of Aurora Grande. And we came up with some alternatives for them to look at. One alternative was for them to upgrade their existing wells. That would not be an inexpensive alternative, but the even more complicating factor is they would have to have continuing quality control over those wells with chemist reports and all that sort of stuff, and they don't feel like they can do that. A second alternative was what the city of Aurora Grande had asked us to do previously, which was to allow them to assume an additional 9 acre feet per year under the gentleman's agreement to be able to provide this water to the two mobile home parks. And none of the other signatories to that agreement would agree to do that. The third alternative was to have the city of Aurora Grande provide that water from their existing water supplies, and the city of Aurora Grande won't do that. A fourth alternative is for the mobile home park owners to request us, the district, to provide water service with the city of Aurora Grande wheeling the water through their current infrastructure. And the last alternative is for the mobile home park owners to request a transfer in their sphere of influence from the city of Aurora Grande to OCSD and then request water service from us. So those are the alternatives. They're all kind of problematic for them. If the only alternative they can rely on is to join in our water and sewer systems would be very expensive, several hundred thousand dollars. And they're basically on rent control now through the county, and so they're very concerned about keeping the cost down for their residents. So I'm bringing this to the board to get a feel for how you would suggest that they proceed, what we may be willing to do to accommodate them, or what we're not willing to do to accommodate them. I'd just like to get direction on how to go with this.
I like number four. I'd rather it be us selling them the water than somebody else taking the water from us and giving it to them.
I tend to agree with that, and I think that's a very valid concern.
It's probably the only one that works for the mobile home parks, too. Is that correct?
Right now.
Realistically, I think so, yeah.
And we're doing this already in another instance, so it's not like
that's true.
We haven't done this before.
That's correct.
And this is right next to us. It isn't.
It's right next to Canyon Crossing.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this benefits them. I mean, and it helps. It goes through our agency over, so.
Well, it would be our water, but we'd be providing it to somebody
Aurora
outside
Grande.
Of our district. Well, not Aurora Grande. Well, they're still in the county.
True. Yeah.
But it's very little water, and these people really are in a bind.
I'd rather be selling it to them, like I said, than somebody else coming and saying, I want to take 9 feet of your water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sitting out there that's ours, taking that away from us, and then somebody else selling it and making a profit. Let's us sell it to them.
And they understand the wheeling charges and that those rates can go up, and that
right.
can happen the way it did right. recently.
I'm gonna make sure they understand that Aurora Grande is in charge of the wheeling charge. We're just going right. to sell them the water, and then they have to negotiate with the city on the wheeling charge part of it.
Well, they probably had a rate increase anyway on their water that they were buying from Aurora Grande because their water went up too.
Yeah, they did do that. But Canyon Crest they pay even more because of the wheeling.
Yeah, of the wheeling. But
right.
I mean, what I'm saying is the normal increases that we got, so did AG. So they got the, you know, they're used to that happening to them.
That's true.
Yeah. They'll have that.
Just so I'll know what you're thinking, so if I bring back an agreement, then I can expect you to sign it. I know that's, you know, day-to-day those things change, but if I have a feel for what the board desires, then I can negotiate with them.
What year is it that our projected usage is going to be our allotment?
You mean on our water master plan?
Yeah.
I think it's around 2020 or 2022, something. Wasn't it?
2030, isn't it?
2030.
Oh, okay. 2030. Yeah.
And by then we'll have DESA.
Well, not only that, you know, the truth is, and Phil can confirm this, that we've had substantial growth in the community over the last 2 or 3 years, and houses, but we haven't had substantial growth in water use because of conservation. And I think the water master plan we have now is fairly good. I think we can use it, but I expect that if once we're in a position to do another one and look at current consumption per capita, we're going to see that we're probably in fairly good shape even at build out.
Well, this makes very good financial sense for us to,
right.
to go this way.
Okay.
And it will bring in some additional water into the water, or some additional money into the water department.
Right.
Which always puts any need to raise rates farther down in the future, farther off in the future. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I think this is good for the community as well as the mobile home park.
Seems like it's a win-win for everyone.
Okay. So I'll come back with an agreement, a proposed agreement to sell them water and have it wheeled through the city of Rio Grande. That's
using number four, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Excellent. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Item 8B, 8D, I'm sorry. Is water billing adjustment policy. Consider changes to existing district ordinance for adjusting utility billing invoices for excessive water use.
At the last board meeting, we discussed alternatives to our existing policy. On the board behind me, the existing requirements are shown right here. And the alternatives that we discussed are shown over here. So I prepared a draft ordinance that are changed to an ordinance, to the existing ordinance. Oh, that the leak was not readily detectable. In other words, it wasn't obvious that it was leaking, and they allowed it to go on. It requires proof of repair that they fix whatever the leak was. And it authorizes a general manager on a finding of fact to approve the adjustment. And if he doesn't approve, he or she doesn't approve that adjustment, then it could be appealed by the customer to the board. And the board would review the facts, and they could override the general manager's decision if they so chose. It requires that the appeals be in writing. It establishes the adjustment amount as one half the difference between the normal bill and what the high usage was. It limits the adjustments to one every 24 months under normal circumstances, but it allows for exceptions for the board to find, to make exceptions, and it talks about causes of, what is it called?
Earthquakes and floods.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Earthquakes and floods, acts of God.
Acts of God, yeah. But it allows basically for the board to make a determination if an exception should be made to the policy. So that's what's before you. Now, this is an ordinance, changed to an ordinance, so it's got to be, this is the first reading. Is that correct?
What you would do is you'd have introduction and first reading tonight.
Okay.
And then at your next regularly scheduled meeting, you would adopt the ordinance.
Adopt the ordinance, okay. So all we can do is have the introduction.
But on
and first
our, if our agenda, it just said water billing adjustment policy. It didn't say first reading or anything. Is that?
Oh, I don't think that's a problem.
Okay.
Well, does that mean that it's that this is what it is, or it's too late to discuss some of the things in here?
Well, you, no. If
we discussed it last
you certainly can make changes if they are simple, minor, administrative type changes to the language. Then you could have those done tonight. It would still constitute first reading, and you would adopt at your next regularly scheduled meeting. If the changes get substantive, so that you know it's really going to require having another document in front of you that's amended and different, so that you can make sure you're saying what you want to say, then what that would do is it would push the time schedule back another meeting. We would come back at your next meeting, do first reading of that changed document, and do adoption at the meeting after that.
But there's no urgency to do this. We want to get this right.
This includes requirements that there be no evidence of a willful act or negligence. What is negligence? How do we define that? Who's defining it? You know, and one of the concerns is, you know, some places out here have old, you know, the lines underneath in their in the ground are to houses, are old lines to old houses. Okay, is the fact that somebody's got an old line in there, and is that going to be negligence? You know, did they neglect replacing it? Is that going to be disqualify them from getting an adjustment or not? You know, that's the kind of a question that I had in reading this.
You know, in my opinion, it comes to the general manager, and he decides it's either negligence or not. And if the customer questions that decision, then they appeal it to the board of directors, and the board decides.
Negligence is always a question of fact. You always have somebody who makes the factual determination, because there's so many different ways it could arise. You can't create a set of rules for every situation. And what you're doing is you're vesting your general manager, as he just said, with the sort of the first initial authority to make that decision. And if somebody's unhappy with it, then it could come to the board.
Okay, so I guess I'm okay with that at this point then. The other question I kind of had was, does everyone feel comfortable with the adjustment being half of the loss, basically? You know, we have set costs for water. You know, our water costs don't increase the more the people use out there, you know, the customers use. We have so much that we pay for our allotment of Lopez, and so much that we pay for our state water, and then we have our groundwater. And if our costs increase as, you know, as usage increased, you know, if they were directly related, then, you know, then I would see that that would be very important, that we don't want to be subsidizing people's, you know, losses from other people's need to pay. But, you know, and I just wanted to, you know, make sure that that's what we want, or that, but that's what the board feels as a whole, is they want half of it, you know, half of that loss credited to people that have this, you know, this problem, as opposed to the whole amount. Is that clear as mud?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that that's what...
Well, and also under the exception, you know, if you... all the board has to do is find that it's an act of God, and you can refund the 100%.
If you had an earthquake or something, you can give them the 100% back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then wasn't there somewhere in here where it said that it only could be discovered, but it only would be allowed if it was discovered by a high water bill?
It does say that, and it's in the very beginning.
Yeah. So if you're 2 months between your water bills, and you've just, you know, you received one 2 weeks earlier, and there was no problems, and then this leak developed and broken line under the ground that is undetectable for a few days until it finally gets wet on the top, and then you see it wet on the top, and you go, oh, I got a leak, you dig it up and fix it, and there's never been a water bill or check come through, does that person now not qualified because it didn't happen between a time when a high water bill was discovered?
I don't read it as requiring a high bill. It says the owner must produce evidence of a break or malfunction. Well, it does say when only evident when a high bill is received. I would.
I guess what that says.
Okay. I see your point there. I would think that if it became evident through a huge puddle or a cave-in or something of that nature, that should be acceptable evidence that something was wrong.
Well, we could just end it, put a period after detectable, and delete the rest of that sentence.
That's what I thought would be best, too.
Is that a substantive change?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is that acceptable to the board?
Comment?
Works for me. I think it's good.
Okay.
Pardon?
That makes it good.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good catch, I think.
In the interest of crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's while simultaneously saving my voice, would the board be interested in entertaining a motion to conduct the first reading by title only?
Yes. Ordinance by title only. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
And to accomplish that, this is ordinance number 2007-1, an ordinance amending ordinance 2006-1 to establish the method for water billing adjustments for the Oceano Community Services District.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Director Mann was the first motion maker, and
it was a tie between me and Pamela. So
we'll say Director Dean. I think I heard first. Okay, and the full text of the ordinance, proposed ordinance, is available in the district office for inspection. Okay, item number 8E, Fat Soils and Grease Program. This is consideration of approval of an ordinance establishing fees for the Fat Soils and Grease Program.
Mr. President, I have to recuse myself at this point.
Okay.
Is this a first reading of this one also?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes, it is.
Director Dahl is left, so we can continue. Patrick?
Yeah, Mr. President, board members, this item, I brought this item to the board on September the 26th for approval of a rate increase or a sewer surcharge. I failed to realize that it had to be an ordinance. It couldn't just be by vote of the board. So the only reason it's back here is to put it in the form of an ordinance. Basically, this is a program that's required by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board. It's managed for us by the sanitation district. We decide, in the staff report, it says that the sanitation district decides which facilities will be included in the program. It's not true. The district decides which facilities are included in the program. Other than that, okay, I know there was at least two. I can't remember the other one. I don't think the numbers are all that pertinent, but we need to pass this ordinance in order to be able to apply the charges. It's my intent to only apply the charges to agencies that are not exempted. If an agency is exempted, then we're not going to apply the charge to them.
Right.
Can we do this one by title only also?
I think we'll probably have to make the same motion as we did the last time.
Yeah.
Same people. Should we have them actually do it?
Maybe <not? laughs> I so move.
Okay. A second?
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Okay, it's been moved by Director Mann, seconded by Vice President Bookout to introduce the proposed ordinance by title only. One question I have on this item is, are we reviewing either on our own or in cooperation with the sanitation district the various organizations that they're mostly commercial restaurants and so forth that are commercial kitchens for the most part that are included in this program? Are we reviewing the validity of the decision of who would be included or not? Is there a...
Basically, if it's brought to my attention that a facility has a sink and should have a grease trap, then I add them to the list and then let the sand district do the inspection. If they are exempt, then we know they're exempt. If they're not, then they're included in the program.
Okay.
So if anybody basically calls me and says, this facility has a deep sink and they're doing cooking kind of stuff, then I'll add it to the program. I think that's been my approach.
Good. Okay.
Very good.
I have a question. Since I wasn't here when it was brought to the board originally, you're saying that the fees are only estimates that could change yearly.
Right.
And
it looks like the ordinance just says 100. It's stuck with one amount, and how easy is that to change?
Well, we'd have to review the ordinance, renew the ordinance. Year. Yeah. Okay. I don't expect it to change every year, but it's a new program, and I'm really not comfortable with what the costs are going to be. Yeah.
Okay.
But as far as I know, that's the only way we can set rates in the district. So.
Mm-hmm. Other comment or questions? Comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, hearing none, it's been moved and seconded that we introduce
1994-2 to establish new sewer service charges for inspection and monitoring of the fats, oils, and grease program for the Oceano Community Services District.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving then on to item 8F. If we could have Director Dahl come back.
He's back.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was. That was lightning quick.
The staff report that was distributed was incorrect. It was actually a combination of the current one and the one from the last one. So I have a new staff report. I think I can fairly quickly describe what happened here. For your consideration, this customer had an average, this customer, the renter that lives in this house, moved in May. Prior to that time, the average usage was about 6,500 cubic feet, 100 cubic feet per month, or per billing period, every 2 months. The billing period ended March 31st. The usage was only 1,700 cubic feet. So our utility billing clerk, Cindy, asked the utility department to inspect the meter to see if there was something wrong with it. They went out and inspected it, and they couldn't find anything wrong with it. They said it's okay. So the next two billing periods, it was also very low. And so at the end of the third billing period, she had them go look at it again. And it turns out that we have these touch read systems where they have a wand that they touch the meter with and it automatically reads the meter, and the touch read part of the meter was broken, it turned out, and that actually the meter itself had kept running, but it wasn't recording properly on the touch read part, so that the following reading, instead of having 65, an average of 65 or 12 or 17, it went up to 209 100 cubic feet. I know, but it is a big bill. It was $671, which is $413 more than what the average bill would be. Now this customer has asked for an adjustment under our adjustment policy. The customer couldn't do anything about it. And we actually went out and told the customer, everything's okay, don't worry about it. So for three billing periods, the customer didn't worry about it. And then the fourth billing period, we sent them a $700 bill. So I think it's appropriate and allowable under our current policy to approve this adjustment. And that's what I'm going to ask the board to do.
I have to agree with you on that. She didn't break. How would a customer know that the meter was broken?
Right.
It's incrementing up and looks normal, and it's only the touch reading.
And especially since we went out and said there's nothing wrong with it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it was really, I think Cindy did a great job recognizing that there was something wrong, and she tried to figure it out, and they went out, and apparently they looked at the wires and the connections and everything, and it was okay. It was working. It just wasn't working quite as fast as the real meter was working. So
the customer is aware that she's going to be having higher water bills hereafter because...
You know, I'm not sure of that, but we will inform her because she did come in midway through. She's only all she's had is like $100 a month bill, and it's going to be substantially higher than that.
Yes.
So we'll make sure that that's
so
a good point.
She knows that she's going to... It's not going to be the $100.
I think she'll be relieved that it's not going to be $700 either.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
She may want to stay in Oceano a little while longer being a renter that way.
Perhaps.
That would be a big surprise, bad surprise. So.
Right.
This meter has been repaired?
Yes.
Okay, and
this situation is, that's something that can be caused or can happen in other meters, or is this a problem with?
I don't know. Phil, do you know what actually happened with this particular meter?
No, I wasn't in on the investigation.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes we've had a little trouble with them skipping. But usually we find it
quicker.
Quicker, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is this something that could be a tampering problem in the future, or is it not tamperable? And this is an internal working on the meter that causes where it breaks?
No, it's not. It's in the register, you know, mm-hmm. not in the meter.
Okay. And the register is outside the meter?
Well, yeah, the register is on top of the meter, and then the receiver is up on the meter lid. You don't have to pick up the box cover to see it.
And then there's just some exposed wires that go from the meter to the reader?
Yes. Covered wire.
All right. It's not like this wire.
That Cindy picked up on that, and I, the fact that we couldn't analyze it was, I think, a rare thing. I think normally we'd realize we need to do something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just want to make sure we're not vulnerable for...
Most meter reading programs, I don't know if ours does, but most of them will give you an out of variance. If it doesn't fall within an average, you know, plus or minus 10 or 15%, it'll make an exception, and you have to go check the meter as part of the protocol. We do that here, right?
Right. You set
yeah.
parameters, and
yeah.
Cindy's very diligent about sending Phil out with 15 pages of rereads to be sure they're correct.
Okay.
And we appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because that's really the answer to the concern.
Well, yeah, and typically when a meter starts failing, at least in my experience, if a meter starts failing, it underreads. It's not spinning as fast or something. So it's to the district's advantage to check that, because you can lose substantial revenue if you're not all over that.
And this is the first one that I remember that we've had since we installed these. How long have these been operating? 3 years or more?
Time flies. You're talking about something happened five years ago. It's been mm-hmm. 4 or 5 years.
Five or six.
Yeah, I think it's...
It's a very low incidence.
It's rare.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, pretty, pretty
we
reliable.
Catch them when they stop completely, but when they slow down, it kind of gives us right. a little trouble.
Yeah. Huh. Right.
But this, one again, was not a problem with the meter. It was a problem with the reader. Correct?
Yes. Well, and
the reader mechanism.
And stuff like that, too. You know, there's a lot of things involved there.
Okay. Any comment or question from the public on this item? Hearing none.
I'd like to make a motion to direct staff to credit the account listed above to reflect changes for the 12-month average as the amount due and owing. Is that right?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that the board make the requested adjustment. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Moving on to item 9, we've done 9A. We move to 9B, which is consideration of the general manager's recommendations for future board meetings in November and December in consideration of the holidays.
I'd just like to make a clarification here. I put this on the agenda at the request of the board at the last meeting that need to be considered.
And I have a suggestion.
Okay.
Perhaps if we held the meeting on Thursday the 29th, the packets then could be sent out on Monday the 26th. It would still give you enough time for the notice, and you wouldn't be trying to... Tell yourself the day before Thanksgiving to get your packets out.
What do you think?
It just simply says at least 72 hours.
No, I meant as far as the workload. I appreciate that, but personally, I'd rather kill myself on Wednesday than have to worry about it through the whole holiday and then come back on Monday and do it.
You're not the one that does the packet, though.
Well, no, that's a good point. That's why I asked her. I mean, what do you think? Is that going to ease your burden?
To do it on Monday, well, the extra day certainly would help.
Okay, that's a good idea.
And then the other suggestion I have, while we're talking about packets, is I think that the packet should be taken up to the printing place to run the copies. because it seems like every time we're doing packets, the machine breaks down, and you're tying up staff all day long. It doesn't cost that much to take this up and have it at Office Max or someplace like that. The copies run off. You're not tying staff up all day, and you're not having nervous breakdowns here.
And you could run them back to back and save paper.
I'd ask Gina, what do you think of that?
Of taking it to Office Max?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
That might, I know the reliability of the copy machine and so forth with that volume of printing has been not exactly the best. And I think that's a great suggestion to just
take them up. And I think we've always had that problem. Uh-huh. All the years I've been here, it seemed like, because it is such a load on any copy machine, whether they're brand new or they're old, when we're trying to run all these copies that we have to do for the agendas every time.
Right.
Is that going to work real easy with a copy center like that with all the stapling and all the rest of that going, or is that going
to
work? Yeah, you got to have it really well organized, you know.
Right.
And the other thing is that it means that we have to have our staff work done on time. Honestly, on occasion, I'll bring a staff report out while they're copying and say, hey, I need to add this in. I won't be able to do that, but that's okay. I'll just have to.
That'll just be the
same as the whole packet.
Right. That's the point.
Yeah, I agree with Barbara. I think that's a great idea that might relieve some of the burden on staff.
Can we leave that as a suggestion to staff, but the decision to be made by staff?
Certainly.
However they want to do it, or do we, as opposed to directing them to do it that way, or?
Well, I think it's a great idea, and staff should be able to use it as as they determine as necessary.
So are we going to make our, what did we decide about the Thanksgiving, the after Thanksgiving meeting? Are we going to have it on Thursday the 29th or? And do the report on Monday, or are we going to leave it on the 28th and do it on Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Well, Thursday sounds good to us, but it's up to the board.
I like Thursday.
Thursday would be fine with me if that's.
I'm fine either way.
That's
that
okay.
That would be okay.
I moved that. We don't have to move. Just tell you.
Who's bringing leftovers?
You. Not me.
Not me either.
I heard that the cook at your house is pretty good, Bill.
Outstanding.
You don't want any of my leftovers, I assure you.
We should have him bring a fresh dinner, not just leftovers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He still owes us pizza anyway.
That's true.
I remember that.
That may be what you get.
That'll be fine.
And then the December meeting, do we want to discuss it?
Well, I always thought that December 26th was a holiday. That's a day you go shopping. You return all the gifts the day after Christmas.
You can do that and be here by 6:30, certainly. No, I would recommend that we cancel that one, but it's up to the board.
I have no really point of view one way or the other on that. That's whatever everyone wants.
I'm fine with whatever works best for staff.
Mm-hmm. I'd recommend we cancel it. I don't see any reason to have that particular meeting.
Well, let's cancel then.
So then what we want to do is reset the last meeting of November to November 29th, which is the third.
To the 29th at the conclusion of the meeting. Just simply adjourn to the 29th.
Oh, let's take a vote.
Might be good to go ahead and take a vote because we're canceling the second meeting in December as well. So.
Sure. Can I make a motion that our next meeting for November be held on November 29th at 6:30 p.m. at the usual location, and that the December 26th regularly scheduled meeting be canceled?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we proceed with meeting on Thursday, November 29th, and cancel the meeting for December 26th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimously. Item 9C, 1687 Front Street lease termination. Consider approval of lease termination agreement recommended by District Legal Counsel.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, you're aware that back in March of 2006, the district leased property located at 1687 Front Street to the Community Health Centers of the Central Coast. That was a 60-month lease. As it turned out, that the expectations of the parties just weren't met. The condition of the property was a lot worse than was ever really expected by the parties. So for the past few months, we've been negotiating a termination arrangement with Community Centers of the Central Coast. Attached as Exhibit A to the staff report, you'll find a termination agreement. In substance, it says that the lease is terminated effective immediately upon the document being signed by all parties, and that the tenant, Community Centers of the Central Coast, would pay the district basically 1 year's rent, $24,480 for the termination. There's a reservation of any liability that CHC might have as a result of something they did on the property, although all they did was store a little tiny bit of material there for a very short period of time. I'm not particularly concerned about that, but it seemed like the prudent thing to do to reserve that. You'll notice that CHC has signed the document, so we're awaiting your approval and signature, and you will also find attached as Exhibit B a copy of the check, which I have in my hot little hands, and I'm ready to turn over.
As good a solution as could be achieved, I think.
Thank you.
Question on that. Those funds, they go into the fire department?
Is that where it was going?
And yep. They go to facilities, or are they?
Just general.
I know it's.
I have to look at what the budget. Where were they going in the budget?
They would go to whatever account the rent money was going to go to. I'm not sure what that is.
I think that was revenue. It was operating revenue.
So it's operating revenue, so it's not reserved in any way.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Alex, I have a question real quick. I just voted yes for that, but my business is within 500 feet of that. Should I recuse myself on this item?
Are you getting any personal gain from it?
No, it's...
You know, perhaps you should have, but it's so de minimis.
Yeah.
There's no benefit that I can discern to you. So sticking my neck out a little bit, and we can't go back and undo it anyway.
Okay.
I don't really see a problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is noted.
Okay. Proceeding to item 10, report of district representatives. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on November the 7th. Some of the highlights were final payment to Cummins West, Rio Grande Watershed and Creek Memorandum of Understanding. The district did approve the Rio Grande Watershed and Creek Memorandum of Understanding, which was supported strongly by the city of Rio Grande, and has variable ways of participation by the various signatories, all of the local agencies that might participate in that. The sanitation district felt that since their facility is directly in the watershed affected area, and their potential for the trunk line sewers being affected by floods and so forth, that it was responsible to approve the Creek Memorandum of Understanding. Authorized purchase of a vertical bandsaw, which is a major budget item, purchase of a chemical sampler, another major budget item, and approved the district getting a debit card on the bank account. Mayor Ferrara asked General Manager Wallace if he might comment
perhaps at such a meeting, and General Manager Wallace said he'd always be happy to comment on tertiary water. So that was the major substance of the meeting there. I also note that the Sanitation District sent a reminder letter to the state, Oceana Dunes State Park, regarding their continued failure to install a sand trap for the sewer coming out of the state park. This causes not only the Sanitation District, but our own district, multiple extra maintenance activities on that sewer line. It clogs up with sand, and a responsible thing to do, a mandated thing to do by the state parks, would be to install a required sand trap. And so far, the state parks for months and months has dragged their feet on that, and it's still not either obtained or installed the required sand trap. And it's very irresponsible, in my view, on their part not to have done that. So I strongly endorse the letter that was sent by the Sanitation District to the state parks on that subject. That was about it for the Sand District meeting.
Last night we had our fire meeting. Most of the items in our fire meeting have already been discussed tonight. But one of the items is office space, and it was brought to our fire meeting of relinquishing the old fire chief's office in the fire in the district's office here, so that staff can have a better use of that office, relieve some of the burdens on staff for being cramped into smaller areas. So we looked at that, and that's our suggestion to come to the board here. And then one of the things was for the fire department to then take and create an office in the back of our building here, office storage area. And I think we've talked out a few solutions for that. And I'll let the general manager add on to that if he'd like to. But that's my version of it.
Well, basically what I took to the fire committee was that we could, if the fire department needed additional office space, we could construct a little office right back here with temporary. Consideration that was thrown out was that we do have these public facility fees in the fire department, about $200,000, and that we could start looking at actually constructing an extension of this building right on the other side of this wall here to include both living spaces and office space, and perhaps room for another engine if we need that. Just conceptually start thinking about doing that sort of thing. So that's pretty much where we left it. I got we badly need additional admin space, and using the fire chief's office for admin is something I'd really like to do. And then figuring out how we're going to handle the fire admin requirements is something we'll continue to work on.
There's also to add on to this, by alleviating the fire chief's office, it'll allow the computer that's in there to go into the fire department's office, which they have in the fire department. And then it was mentioned with the firefighters that they have a lot of things stacked in the fire department that would be better to put close by, but not in the fire department, and they could possibly move those down to the old fire station.
Okay. Vern?
Yes. Yes. I attended OAC, Oceano Advisory Council, meeting on 10/29, as listed in the agenda, and we also had one on November 12th. Both of those meetings were to work on the bylaws, which we now have a document that's ready to go to the council as a whole to be voted on next on our next meeting this coming Monday on November 19th at 6:30 here in this room. That meeting is also going to have somebody from the county that's going to come down and talk to us about the alleyways and paving and and that related subject. So that's it for the Ocean Advisory Council, the Airport Land Use Commission, which is in the agenda for October 17th. I reported on at the last meeting. And basically, it was that there is no November 21st.
I don't think anything can knock those things down. So the concrete is set, they're in place, and they're not going to be moving. And hopefully, that will prevent the dumping that's happening, that's been happening out there. They had a report on the flood control emergency. This is for overtopping of the channel and flood evacuation that could take place here in the district. They're going to have, at the next meeting, December 11th, they're going to have Ron Alsop with the OES, Office of Emergency Services from the county, come and speak about the flood emergency evacuation plan. And they do have a map of those areas that would be affected, and he will explain how that will work. I also extended him our invitation that it might be good to do it before the OCSD board, so it would be televised so more people could hear it from him. And they're looking into that to see if that could happen. One of the big things is that we have the Morrow Group on board now. They will be doing our environmental document, and what they worked on in a pre-meeting from 1 to 3 on Tuesday was a purpose and needs statement for their environmental document. So that would be for the NEPA document. It's called Objectives for the CEQA document. But there are 10, actually 11, and I'll tell you what those are. We've been working on them for a long time, so this isn't anything really new. First is to improve flood protection. Second, enhance the environmental qualities of the creek. Third is to reduce the risk from flooding. Four is to minimize the human-induced flooding, which is, we asked what that meant. They say it's people riding on the levees and diminishing the height of the levees and the levee integrity. Five is improvement within reasonable budget. Six is to interface with existing infrastructure, and that refers to constraints at the bridges. And the bridges at the 22nd Street and actually also at Highway 1 are very low. All that good news was that we did not make the cut for final consideration on the $1 million earworm grant, and that was a big blow because we were hoping that we could at least kind of put forward our cause and be in the running for that grant. That did not happen. That's kind of what went on. If there are any questions, I'm glad to answer them.
Okay. Barbara?
Well, the fire committee meeting that I went to, we had the discussion regarding the building of a temporary office here in the back of the boardroom. And on another totally different subject, we discussed the money that we have put aside to enlarge the fire station. I feel that money cannot be used for this temporary office. I think it's apples and oranges. But was about it. And we did discuss training of officers. That's it.
Okay, comment or questions among the board? Comment or questions on the reports from the public? Okay, hearing none. General manager items for discussion. Patrick?
I only have one item. I called yesterday about the street light on Melody Lane, and the lady at PG&E told me very apologetically that they had changed their planning process where everything has to go through Fresno now. They can't do anything locally. And that when she talks to them, they told her it would be optimistic to think we'd get a design in 4 months. I asked her what we could do to speed that up. She said, if you know anybody in PG&E, call them. She had talked to them about trying to get it sent back as a local project, and they won't do that. It's this new, just implemented within the last month, this new process, and they don't want to start making exceptions to it yet. So,
do you think perhaps Supervisor Sajjan could help us out there with a phone call?
I don't know. Maybe if we knew.
The weather guy that PG&E fired and then they had to hire back at the plant, and now isn't he dealing with customer outreach or something? You know who
could,
I'm talking
could
about.
Could be, yes, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy got...
I can definitely make some inquiries among. Okay. It's different working in the generation part of it. It's like a whole different world than the distribution world. But I can make some calls.
Okay. Maybe PG&E will be hearing us talk about this right here tonight, and they'll come to us improving their customer service.
That would be good.
Yeah. So we.
Well, the public was able to get that gentleman rehired.
Yeah. That's true.
You have Concho call that talk show that's on.
A talk show?
On the afternoons.
I tell you what, you buy the luncheon with him and we'll all talk to him about it.
Dave Coughlin.
And for Vice President Bookout, I have a lot in Colorado that has an ocean view, I'd like to say.
Nice.
It's cheap too.
Okay. I always was a dreamer.
I bet he's going to want payment in advance.
Yeah, cash up.
I bought a bridge in Arizona a few years ago, and I still don't know what to do with it.
We'll move it to this lot in Colorado. Yeah. That's all I have.
Okay, board member items for discussion. Any further, Vern?
No, nothing else.
No.
Pamela, Bill. Comment or questions from the public? We'd like to take, I think, item number 14 out of order, which is consideration of the warrants.
I have to recuse myself on the counts bill, so you got to.
I'll need to recuse myself on the Kirk and Seamus.
I'll make a motion. We pay the counts bill.
Mr. President, we needed to pull the one warrant that is dated November 14th to Village Art for $111.07, since it's actually going to be paid with the district credit card.
Village Arts?
Village Framing now. Sorry.
Village Framing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Motion on the floor, please.
Okay, so you've moved that we pay the Couts warrant?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? General public comment at this time? Hearing none. We have executive session scheduled, item 13A. This would be conference with legal counsel regarding contractor evaluation. This would be a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, paren B, paren 1, to evaluate district engineer. Return from closed session, and council probably
has a word for us.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, with regard to item 13A, a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957, parenthesis B, close parenthesis, parenthesis 1, close parenthesis, to evaluate the district engineer. The board met in closed session, discussed the matter, took no action.
Thank you very much. Any closing public comment? Hearing none. Written communications?
I have one letter from Mayor Lieberman from the city of Grover Beach. The subject is the People's Kitchen, and I've distributed it to the members of the board. Basically, he's requesting that the local agencies join in a joint task force to try to somehow replace the People's Kitchen, which basically the city of Grover Beach is being forced to close down. So I guess we'll bring us back for action at the next board meeting.
Okay.
Or consideration, not action.
All right. That brings us to the close of business this evening. Our next meeting will be Thursday, November 29th. Thursday, November 29th, here at 6:30.